Hi, I've got a song for you. I wrote it all about 5, 6 years ago for a kids' light party. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. If I follow him, I can see. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and his light is gonna shine on me. Let it shine on me, let it shine on you, let it shine on everything that we say and do. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and his light is gonna shine on me. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, set his light shining in my soul. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and his light is gonna make me whole. Let it shine on me, let it shine on you, let it shine on everything that we say and do. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and his light is gonna shine on me. Yeah, his light is gonna shine on me. Yeah, his light is gonna shine on me. Welcome to this service from Western Heights. May the Christ, the light of the world, shine on you. And because of that, we're going to light a candle, because Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and his light is always with us. May Christ, the light of the world, shine on you. Our reading today is going to come from Paul's letter to the Roman church, and it's the 8th chapter. Paul's absolutely full of something that just runs through everything he writes. He was being the most horrible person you could imagine, particularly to the Christians. He was bound up with rules and regulations, and he knew that in his covenant with God he had to keep it or he was in trouble. And part of his understanding of that was to go out and find people who weren't keeping it properly in his opinion, which included the Christians. And in the middle of all this hatred, and Paul was throwing people into prison, he was ripping families apart, he was doing all sorts of things. And in the middle of that, when he actually met the object of his hatred, he couldn't understand it, that he met unconditional love for him, and he never ever forgot it. But it wasn't just the kind of love that was about being nice. It was about the kind of love that understood who he was meant to be, who God had created him to be, and loved him despite the twists that had happened, that had made him become something quite warped and twisted. And the love that met him and confronted him was able to evince out of Saul of Tarsus an understanding that lay somewhere deep buried underneath. He met grace, and he met transforming love, and he never ever forgot it. And in Romans chapter 8, he writes this: "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death." And then he goes on and he says this: what are we to say about these things? If God is for us, then who's against us? He who didn't withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. So who's to condemn? It's Christ Jesus who died. Yes, who was raised and who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it's written, for your sake we're being killed all day long, we're accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor depth, nor height, nor anything else in all creation can be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God for those words, and thank God for inspiring Paul to write them for us today. What do we say about these things? Paul's overwhelmed throughout all of his letters with a love that transcends all the boundaries that he'd structured up around himself. He realized that God in Christ loved him. And when he realized that and looked at who he'd become, he began to understand that that love is unconditional. He began to understand that it was unconditional for the people he called enemies. He began to understand that that love transcended the boundaries of his Jewishness. It transcended, it went out to the Gentiles, it went out to the Samaritans, it went out to the Romans, it went out to the Canaanites. Paul was enthralled by the love of God, the grace that didn't depend on what he did. It was just there. And Paul also knew that that love wasn't just a love like being nice. I think sometimes we misunderstand that love means being nice all the time. Actually, it doesn't really, because love always wants to evince from the object of love the best they can be. Yes, it's full of compassion. It's not self-righteous. It doesn't get on a high horse and think somehow or other it's all right to be cruel, to be kind. But love is a lot more than being nice. It sees the potential that God has built into a person, and it evinces that from them. It draws it out. It understands that that's the purpose of love. Not to make people happy with us. The purpose of love is to enable people to become the image of God that was created in them from the outset. That's the love that we experience in Christian faith. That's what Christian faith's about. And it's that love that's being poured out into us, which is going to become, if there's any possibility of you and me loving the way God does, it's not because we're jolly good blokes or women. I'm not being sexist here. It's not because of that. It's because there's something really deep and profound that is a constant of the universe that we've discovered somewhere deep in ourselves that starts to affect the way that we see and act with other people. If I've got any capacity to love, and God only knows the number of times I've failed to do it properly, it's because even in the midst of those failures, I found that I'm met with the love of God again, that sees Bruce as more than he is. And because he sees Bruce as more than he is, and I experience that, I know that that's happening to the people I meet, whoever they are, whatever their color, shape, creed, disposition, looks, whatever. God knows who that person is created to be and loves them and wants me to emulate that in the way I meet them. That's what Paul found. And he found out that that love was a constant that went through the vicissitudes of life. You know, life goes up and life comes down. Life has got its sweet and its sour. Life's got heartbreaking moments in it. And it's got moments when you're on top of the world. It's going to be like that because we're mortal. This old body, you know, that can be a friendly touch, but it can also break my arm if it's too strong. I'm physical, I'm mortal, I'm vulnerable. And because of that, because I'm made that way, I have to be open to the possibilities that at times that's going to hurt me badly. And it's only in that possibility that I actually delight in the things that I've got, the joys that I've got. The two things go side by side. The love of God doesn't rise or fall with the way things are in life. Sometimes people think when things go awfully wrong, they think, oh, God doesn't love me anymore. Why isn't God looking after me? It's not that. The love of God transcends our vulnerable human mortality. It's the constant. That's why we talk about eternal life. It's the constant. Holds us even beyond the body's functioning. It's the constant. It holds beyond the boundaries that I might put around myself and other people. It's the constant. It holds beyond anything that I might think is a limit. Because God is universal. God is over all the earth. And it's in that knowledge of the extent and the power and the love of God revealed to us in Jesus Christ that we have faith in resurrection power and faith that we are held by God no matter what. And it's in that faith that we know that even when things look their blackest, the light still shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And even if we think we're overcome, the darkness is not overcome because it's God and the grace and the power and the love of God that is the constant, not mine. God bless and keep you. In whatever your state, your circumstance, whatever difficulties, whatever joys you're finding, God bless and keep you because God is with you. Amen. I love this from Bruce Prewer's Australian Psalms. If you haven't got the book, it's really worth going and getting it. You can still get them. He calls this sweet and sour. In this mysterious union of energy, which we call humanity, the black and the gold are so closely woven that one cannot remove the pain without removing the joy. The gentle Buddhist, discovering his truth, removes both black and gold from his daily experience and calls the unsweetened, unbittered vestige the only peace. Not so our Jesus, who embraces both with strong bleeding arms, affirming both creator and creation as lovable, and salvation as intrinsic to both the broken body and the shed blood and the joy of wedding celebrations. In this sweet and sour, we spend our days in the unfolding of his purposes. We find our Lord giving the breath of life while always his tears soak us, his joys uplift us, and his love fills us. Thanks be to God for these words inspired by God through Bruce Prewer, one of our Uniting Church ministers. I'd like to offer you a blessing. His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, be gracious to you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace of the Lord be with you.